This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 on Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Rob Hart. Mayor Lightfoot now has 10 challengers in her bid for re-election. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the latest reading of inflation is out, along with the weekly tally of jobless claims. We're joined by Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economist at AndrewBush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, thanks for joining us today. Consumer prices rising 0.4% in October. That's less than expected. And 7.7% from a year ago. That's below estimates. How do we interpret this report? Is it a triumph of prices actually going down, or is it a triumph of massaging statistics?
No one's massaging statistics, but what it is a shift from where we were under COVID, where people were buying a lot of goods and had a lot of supply chain disruption and a lot of impact from the Ukraine war, right? That hurt energy prices. They went up dramatically. Now we're seeing a shift back towards people buying services and energy prices. While they didn't come off much last month, we've seen the goods area, those prices have come down significantly. So there's some good news in this number, and the markets certainly are going bananas over it. So they love it. They think that the Fed's going to stop, you know, raising rates sooner than expected. I would tell everybody to slow their roll on that one. But, you know, hey, the markets do what they do. But the thing that's hidden in there that I'm worried about is the shelter prices. Those prices went up last month, and they continue to go up. And that matters for CPI because it's literally a third of the CPI. So, yeah, I mean, we're excited to see that this number is below 8%. Woohoo! That's great. But overall, it's still way too high, right?
Well, you remember the guy who was running for elected office in New York City about 12 years ago, and his whole platform is the rent is too darn high. That appears to be the CPI's big concluding statement this month.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it takes a while for that shelter number to start to go down. It's very sticky. That's what we call in economics when a price doesn't come down much. You're going to see home prices start to soften significantly. How far down they go, I don't know. But the housing affordability, you've been talking about it for a long time, but that's just tanked. So people have stopped buying. Mortgage rates over 7% will do that. So that's, we know that's coming, but it's just not here yet.
And then let's take a look at core CPI. That's when you take out food and fuel prices. There are some things to like, even though the rent, as we said, may be too darn high. You're getting a real deal on used cars these days.
Yeah, no doubt. It's interesting, isn't it, how energy affects everything, right? Transportation, cars, food prices, obviously, is another place. But the core, excluding food and energy, that came down significantly. That was down from came in at 0.3%, down from 0.6%. So that's half of what it was before. But I just want everybody to remember, CPI, it's a big number and everybody watches it, but the Fed doesn't use that for what they do for making monetary policy. They look at something called core PCE, and that's still pretty elevated. That one actually up last month. So let's, again, you know, this is great news that we're seeing this come off, but we need many more months of data like this to feel a lot better about the Fed eventually stopping their rate hikes.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, economist, AndrewBush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up, the Chicago mayoral race gets more crowded.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia is the latest combatant in the battle for mayor mayor of Chicago. Let's talk about the crowded race with Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business. Greg, thanks for joining us today. Far be it for me to make a value judgment of all of the candidates who are now in the race to replace Mayor Lightfoot as she runs for a second term next year. This seems like, with Congressman Garcia coming in, might be the first real challenger with a serious stature to enter this race.
Well, maybe, potentially. Rob, we're going to have to find out. Chuy Garcia is certainly somebody who's known, somebody who's run before. If nothing else, he has name recognition, which is where you always have to start in politics. On the other hand, the coalition that got him where he is in politics is not fully behind him this time. In particular, some of the big progressive unions, the Chicago Teachers Union, for instance, or two locals from SEIU, the Government Workers Union, they're instead with County Commissioner Brandon Johnson. That's significant because it costs Garcia field troops, and it leaves him without an obvious source of ready cash because each of those two unions, one of them has already spent more than $1 million on Johnson. He's going to have to replace that. It just means that his base is divided. You never want to go into an election with your base divided. I'm not writing him off, but it's not the same as it was.
It seems like you have two lanes forming in this race. You have the law and order lane, and you have the progressive lane, and Congressman Garcia certainly in the progressive lane. Anything we might have learned from the election on Tuesday night that maybe one lane could be more potent than the other? Crime was a huge issue in the governor's race, but that didn't really slow down the Democrats or Governor J.B. Pritzker. So does that change the math in Chicago going in the next year?
Maybe. It's a really good question that I'm not sure we know the answer to yet. There's no question that Republican strategists and allies really played that up. You couldn't turn on TV but not see ominous ads about all the places going to hell in a handbasket, and you have to vote for the Republicans. It didn't work. Maybe that will also be the case with the mayor's race, or maybe people will say, hey, that the mayor has more direct to do with crime, and he can hold him more directly responsible. But it's certainly an open question right now.
And then as far as the electoral math in Washington is concerned, on Friday night when word leaked that Congressman Garcia was considering running for mayor, the smart money suggested that the Republicans were on the verge of winning a rather comfortable majority in the House of Representatives. Now it's a jump ball. The way these votes are being counted out west, a lot of mail ballots are still yet to be counted, and that the question of who gets a majority is really up in the air. The Republicans could get a two-seat or three-seat majority. The Democrats could wind up eking past 218. If Chuy Garcia runs for mayor and wins, it's 115 days until there is an election for a replacement in that seat. That could change the balance of power in Washington. Has that been brought up?
Mayor Lightfoot's people are already on that. They're raising some questions about why is Chuy abandoning their word, Congress. It wouldn't affect election of a speaker. That will happen before Chicago's mayoral race. And even if he was elected mayor, he probably wouldn't leave Congress until swearing in time, which would be in May. But if, depending on how close the House is, it could indeed cause a little bit of a problem.
Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business. Thanks for joining us this afternoon as we talk about the another entrant in the race for mayor of Chicago, Jesus Chuy Garcia. He forced Rahm Emanuel to a runoff in 2015, but lost the second round. It's 12:14. Coming up next, cryptocurrencies are staging a comeback.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Cryptocurrencies are clawing back some of their recent losses after inflation concerns and worries surrounding the crypto exchange FTX takes a back seat. Let's get the latest now from Jeff Kilberg, the founder and CEO of KKM Financial based in Chicago. Jeff, thanks for joining us today. Before we talk about this crypto rebound that's happening, at least in as far as the trading value of the currency is, what's the latest with FTX? It sounds like they're open to withdrawals once again, and the CEO of the company is apologizing to customers.
Well, that's right, Rob. And there is crypto chaos, and it certainly is continuing as Binance dropped their bid to buy rival FTX. So it was at one moment in time, Rob, FTX was valued at $32 billion. I think that valuation you can count on one single hand now in the billions. So what's interesting is that the CEO did come out and apologize. Don't know how far I'm sorry goes when you lose billions and billions of dollars. And currently they have about an $8 billion gap, $8 billion need to make good on redemptions of clients. So this is a hot mess. I don't know how else to say it, Rob, but it is interesting to see. We saw the price of Bitcoin go down and in the 15,000 level. It has recovered. Certainly there's a correlation to stocks moving higher off of a less than hotter expected CPI data. But right now, we are seeing a lot of volatility. Just in today's range, you've seen a $2,500 range in the price of Bitcoin. But there's still more to unpack here. But it is interesting to see as this crypto billionaire, Sam Bankman-Fried, he's blaming himself. He's taking all the credit. He's admitting that he said he should have done a better job. But you don't lose tens of billions of dollars in this manner. And this is one of the biggest fears I think cryptocurrency investors had, having visibility, having transparency into these exchanges, and also having under regulation. You don't see this happening on the New York Stock Exchange or the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Group.
This has been quite the year for FTX. It begins with the Super Bowl commercial with Larry David, as various figures throughout history poo-pooing all innovation as it comes his way, trying to represent the people who doubt cryptocurrency. It had a big presence in the field of sports. It had naming rights to a lot of things. You would see FTX on the umpires' jerseys in baseball games, for example. And now it ends with the CEO apologizing for the fact that they cannot cover depositors. What's the next step for them?
You know, the next step for them is going to be continued turmoil, in my opinion. I think someone will come in, some of the investors. I know there's some big institutional investors like Sequoia Capital is involved in here. They've already written off their stake inside of FTX at zero. So it's going to be a very low valuation, a very low takeover. But I think it's very important to separate FTX from cryptocurrency. This is an exchange. They did a poor job of transparency. They should have never been lending customers assets. That's not allowed on an SEC-regulated type of exchange when we trade stocks, futures, or options here in the United States. So this is more the reason that there should be regulation inside of cryptocurrency. But I think you have to separate FTX from owning cryptocurrency. You are seeing a broad swath of cryptocurrencies move higher now after this shock to the system. But FTX is probably going to end up bankrupt. I don't see how they come up with $8 billion to cover these redemptions.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, we'll put the spotlight on stocks in the tech sector.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A congressman from Chicago announces he's interested in the job of mayor. Tropical storm Nicole is doing damage on Florida's Atlantic coast, including collapsing some homes. Technology Thursday, an update on companies in the beaten-up tech sector, and the movie Black Panther: Wakanda Forever is expected to set box office records this weekend. WBBM Business, the market are higher. The Dow is up 888 points. The NASDAQ is up 587, and the S&P 500 is up 156. AccuWeather says mostly sunny, windy, unseasonably warm today, a high near 75, and we have 74 degrees right now in Chicago at 1231. Topping our news at the half hour, after weeks of rumors, Chuy Garcia made it official in the last hour.
Today, I'm announcing my candidacy for mayor of the city of Chicago.
Congressman Garcia recently won re-election to the House and is joining 10 other candidates in vying for the mayor's spot in February. Garcia's announcement comes on the 40th anniversary of the start of the mayoral campaign of Harold Washington, his close friend and former colleague. A rare November hurricane made landfall in Florida early this morning. Now, Tropical Storm Nicole is piling on an already hurting state.
Much of Florida remains under a tropical storm warning, and even though Nicole wasn't nearly as devastating as Hurricane Ian, it's compounding some of Ian's damage, Governor Ron DeSantis.
You had a lot of that erosion on the coastline. You know, this has put some of those structures in jeopardy.
This man owns a house south of Daytona Beach in Wilbur by the sea. Now that home is in the sea.
I was here Tuesday night, and I kind of watched the wall deteriorate. And then I woke up Wednesday morning, and the wall was completely gone.
The county sheriff says more than 20 homes are also in danger of falling into the Atlantic. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stocks are surging on Wall Street, and that's an understatement. Joining us now with the latest and what's behind the rally is Paul Nolte, portfolio manager, Kingsview Asset Management, based in Chicago. Paul, thanks for joining us today. We know that investors are reacting to the Consumer Price Index report, which was considerably better than expected. Expectations, of course, being relative. Are they betting on anything specific, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is, I think, probably the fourth go-round to a Fed pivot or a Fed pause. We caught a little bit of that from Fed Governor Lyle Brainard before this last Fed meeting, indicating that maybe after the first of the year, probably a good time to just kind of sit back and see what happens with all of the rate increases that they've put through. And I think Wall Street's revisiting that discussion that maybe the Fed is a lot closer to the end of their rate hiking cycle than maybe previously thought ahead of this number that came out today.
Is there one more signpost that the Fed Chairman Jay Powell and the Board of Governors need to see before they really start talking about a pause or maybe even a reversal, like the next PCE report?
Yeah, it's all about inflation. So any part of the PCE, PPI number, which comes out next week, we'll get another CPI report prior to the next meeting in December. Any other piece of economic data that's going to have some inflation component to it, even if it's wage growth and the jobless numbers, those are all going to be front and center for the Fed. And their stated goal is still 2%. We're a long way away from that. But if we were to have inflation at the pace that we had this last month, a year from now, we'd be below 5%. So we're getting there, but it's going to be a slow process.
That's what I was going to say. And quite frankly, Paul, between the election and the CPI number this week, I have seen so many charts and graphs on so many different data points, whether it's the election or inflation. I'm sure someone's going to come up with the inflation rate in Maricopa County, Arizona, to bring these two these two disciplines together. But that's the question I wanted to ask you, and that is the month-over-month increase in inflation, when does it start to correlate with a number that makes the Fed happy?
Well, if you take 2% and divide that by 12, you're going to be talking about a 0.2, 0.3 number at a pretty consistent basis. And that, I think, is going to make the Fed a little bit happier and a little bit more comfortable with the fact that, okay, we don't have to raise rates. We're going to want to see a few months of that before I think the Fed is going to talk about, yeah, maybe we're done for a while. And again, I don't think cutting rates is part of the vernacular yet. That may come mid-year, maybe late next year, if we're able to see continued improvement in those numbers. But a lot of the components that we saw today were things that we've been talking about for the last 3-4 months that should start to come through in the CPI data. They are now starting to show up.
And then, Paul, very quickly, I know the Fed has wanted to use interest rates to basically tunnel through the very robust employment market, but is Team Soft Landing still in line for possibly for vindication?
I think it is, but mind you that the employment data is certainly backward-looking maybe 6 weeks ago. But I think there's a possibility still, because we've put up 200,000 new jobs, that is still in place as long as those continue to hold.
Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management, based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, shares of tech companies stage a major comeback.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday, and this afternoon we're taking a closer look at stocks in the tech sector, which had been taking a beating for quite a while. Let's check in with Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer, Greenwich Wealth Management, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, thanks for joining us today. Is this a good time to go bargain hunting with some tech heavyweights?
Well, yesterday would have been better. Today we're seeing tech stocks up quite strongly. And of course, the rally is being fueled by the CPI numbers, which were somewhat better than expected. So this is exactly what we should expect. Technology stocks are considered long duration securities because these are companies that may have large cash flows, but they're not really expected to be realized until sometime in the far future, whereas value stocks have their cash flows much closer to the present. So when interest rates go down, tech stocks go up more, and when interest rates go up, tech stocks go down more.
And then with Microsoft or Amazon or Apple, history shows it's probably a bad idea to bet against those three, and that if you do see an opportunity to buy at a good price, you should probably go in there and do it before the price goes up eventually. But I do want to ask about Facebook, Meta, which seems to be in the throes of an existential crisis right now. And if you're an investor, how do you assess that?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So Meta is still down considerably from its highs, but it is up quite a bit from, just last week or 2 weeks ago. So my view on all of these things is that if you are a long-term investor, you would probably be well served by buying some shares of things like Meta today. I shouldn't say today because I'm very reluctant to buy any type of stock that has rallied tremendously in one day. So I wouldn't be surprised if it gives back, some of these gains in the next few days. But, it is a good time to be building a position in these kinds of stocks. And that's what, I have been doing for my clients. And Meta is one of the stocks that I had been adding to after that recent fall. But, my clients are long-term investors. They're willing to be patient. And I think a stock like Meta will eventually come back and we will see it higher.
There have been a number of comparisons to the economic turmoil and especially the sell-offs in the market this year. Comparisons to 2000, 2001, 2002, when the first tech bubble popped. And a lot of people got out of tech. But if you stayed in there or you bought, you were looking like a genius when 2010, 2011 rolled around. Does that historical comparison pass the smell test with you?
Yes, it does. In fact, people always like to compare what's happening today to what's happened in the past under the assumption that history repeats itself. And to a certain extent, that is true. One thing we know from the stock market for sure is that the market always goes higher over the long term. So, yes, we'll have these major drops. We'll see things like the financial crisis. We'll see things like this year's sell-off. We'll see things like, the Great Depression, for example, back in the 20s. They can cause stocks to go down tremendously. But if you look at a long-term chart of the stock market, you see that it goes up over time. So when you have the kinds of sell-offs that we've had, those are usually good opportunities to buy. And, despite the fact that the market is rallying tremendously today, the S&P is still down about 18% year to date. So I think it makes sense for long-term investors to be buying stocks rather than selling. And what's really odd that I always find, amusing is that when it comes to almost everything else in life, when we see things are cheaper than they were before, we consider buying more of it than we otherwise would. But when it comes to stocks, people want to buy when stocks are going up and they want to sell when stocks are going down, and they should be doing exactly the opposite.
Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer with Greenwich Wealth Management based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the new Marvel movie is set to shatter records.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Expectations are high as the movie Black Panther Wakanda Forever opens this weekend. We welcome in Paul DeGarabedian, Senior Media Analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore based in Los Angeles. Paul, thanks for joining us today. It seems like the movie theater year can be measured by the one big blockbuster per month or two per month that are released. And several movies have already set records, but it's anticipated that Black Panther Wakanda Forever will break a record yet again.
Rob, I think this is a really important movie. It's been a while since we've had a $100 million opening weekend film, and that was back on July 8th, the weekend of July 8th, with Thor: Love and Thunder, another Marvel movie. That film opened to $144 million domestically. Black Panther, the original, opened in mid-February to $202 million, went on to earn $1.347 billion worldwide. So this is a really important movie because it does signal the return to the blockbuster within this year for movie theaters after a little bit of a drought, but some cool movies did come out after the summer and prior to the holiday movie season. But yeah, you're exactly right. This is another one of those movies that's going to be an important turning point, I think, for the business. And we want to have more than one blockbuster per month, but we'll take what we can get at this point. And Avatar 2, of course, on the way in December.
I do want to talk about the movie business in between the blockbuster, because obviously the multiplex is going to be a very busy place this weekend and in subsequent weekends as people try to see Black Panther again and again and again, as they did before. But in between the blockbusters, you see some very interesting titles, obscure titles, creeping their way into the top five just because if it's not a blockbuster, people are still reluctant to go. They'll catch it on streaming instead.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. We saw that with the Japanese anime film One Piece Film Red that was number two last weekend, because in this corridor where it's been a little bit slower, there's an opportunity for films that may not have otherwise been in the top five or top 10 to do that. And we've also seen that the horror genre has been incredibly popular in the post-summer movie period. So horror movies have been a mainstay of the box office for, well, certainly during the pandemic and before, but they kind of helped bridge the gap between that summer movie season with Top Gun and Doctor Strange and all these big movies. And now where we finally have another blockbuster hitting theaters, but it's nice to have those different kind of movies out there. The diversity of content, I think, is really important, but theaters want to fill seats, right? That's what they need, especially in the wake of the impact of the pandemic, how profoundly that hurt the bottom line. But this is a movie that I think Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, that everyone's been waiting for. I think already it's getting a great buzz, and we're going to have Thursday night previews and then it'll officially open on Friday. I think we're going to have a great weekend in movie theaters with Wakanda Forever.
Paul DeGarabedian, Senior Media Analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore based in Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us today. Of course, I do wonder now that Wakanda Forever is going to be in the movie theater starting this weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.